G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Chapter 2, verse 8. Give me an oi if you're there. All right. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I want to read that again. You know, now hands up if you've read that scripture before. Well, I want you to be doubly attentive. You know, there's a tendency that we have when we are familiar with a scripture. The more familiar we are with a certain scripture, it's kind of like the more we can tend to switch off. Like John 3:16. You can say John 3:16 and there'll always be somebody that'll say, yeah, I know that. Do we really? You know, do you think God can't show you something new through John 3:16? You know, to say that you know it, like we can be familiar with the verse, but if you're familiar with a scripture, you need to be even more attentive. God, I don't want to miss something new that you want to show me. Yeah, God could spend 1,000 years showing you new things through John chapter 3 verse 16 every day of your life. Is that right? Because there's just no limit to the revelation that God has in his word. And so with this scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, if you're familiar with it, you need to be doubly attentive to ensuring that you're not just on autopilot. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, the New Living Translation says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I want to talk to you, over the next few weeks, and I'm not sure how long it'll go. It'll go at least 3 weeks, I anticipate it. Could even go as much as 5 weeks. And the title of the series is Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. If you go to our website, that's our motto on our website, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. There needs to be a balance in our life of grace and faith. And sad to say, a lot of people don't understand what grace is or even what faith is, let alone to be able to live in a balance. And a lot of Christians, even a lot of spirit-filled Christians, a lot of Bible-believing Christians, don't understand that there needs to be a balance to these two things. You know, every provision of the kingdom comes by grace through faith. Is that right? That's what this scripture says. It says, by grace you have been saved. That word saved is the word sozo in the Greek. And it literally means healed, delivered, protected, preserved, provided, prospered. It means much more. We have cheapened it to mean that you go to heaven. But that's just a small, tiny, tiny fragment of what it means. Yeah, sure, by grace you get to go to heaven through faith. But it's far more than that. By grace, you could easily replace that word with healed. By grace you've been healed through faith. Or by grace you've been delivered through faith. Or by grace, you have been protected through faith. By grace, you have been prospered through faith. All of those are equally true because this word sozo encapsulates all of those things. And so there is a balance of grace and faith in there because it's by grace through faith. You can't earn healing. You can't earn deliverance. You can't earn prosperity. It's kind of like what Pete was saying earlier. This morning when he was receiving the tithes and offerings. You know, you don't work for a living. That's not God's design. That was never ever God's design for you and I, is to work for a living. That scripture that Pete used is proof of that. It says, let him who steal no more. Let him who stole steal no more. But rather let him work with his hands so that he may have to give to him that has need. God wants you to work for a giving, not for a living. He wants you to be a giver, not a taker. And you find if you're a giver, you know, God's a giver, Jesus was a giver, they don't lack, do they? Givers don't lack. It's the takers, the ones who end up lacking. And so The point that I'm making is you can't earn prosperity. You can't earn forgiveness. You can't earn peace from God. These things are not earned. They come by grace through faith. And it says, it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, when I became a Christian, I really, really had an experience of the love of God. I knew that I was born again. I knew the moment I prayed, I knew there was a transfer. The Bible says you transferred from darkness into light. I knew that in my heart. I couldn't tell anybody exactly what had happened, but I knew something had happened, something significant, and I knew I was going to heaven. And it used to make my mum mad. Because she, you know, like, I mean, I was brought up in a church that basically said, you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or not. That's up to God. That's how I was brought up. And so when I became born again, I knew I was going to heaven. And I used to tell my mum, you know, like, I didn't used to kind of rub it into her, but like if we would ever, somehow the topic would come up and about heaven, and she'd say, yeah, well, you just never know if you're going to get there or not. And I said, I do. I'm going. And she said, you can't say that. She said, that's so arrogant. And I said, it's not arrogant. And I said, but I'm going. You know, and she used to get so angry. She said, no, no one knows who's going to heaven. And I said, I do. and I would try to tell her, look, I'm not trying to boast, Mum, about it's not because I've been so good. It's by grace through faith. And I didn't say that to her because I didn't fully understand. I was a young Christian then. All I knew is that something had happened in me. I knew that I was loved, dearly loved of God. I knew that he didn't want me to go to hell, and because of a choice that I'd made to surrender my life to him, he'd come into my heart, and now I was a citizen of light, going to the kingdom of light. I knew that. And, you know, for a long time, like as I grew as a Christian, I struggled to understand, and I began to understand that it came by grace. And I thought, but what does that mean? I've experienced grace, but I can't explain it. I can't articulate it. I don't know if you've been in that position. But for a long, long time, I would talk to God and I say, God, what does it mean? Like, I know it in here. I can speak in tongues and I know I'm saying it perfectly. But how do I tell someone about your grace, about your goodness, about your mercy, about your faithfulness? I just don't have words for it. Help me to understand this. Help me to wrap my mind around it. I've done a lot of Bible studies on this issue of grace, and there are certainly some things that we can say, and we'll look at some of this, certainly this morning, about how grace is God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. How grace is God's love in action. And we're going to look at some of that this morning. And so, you know, I began to get some handles on it. Not that I am an expert now by any means. You know, I'm still learning more and more, still discovering more and more. But, you know, then I began to come across, even as a young Christian, I went into a Coorong bookstore down in Melbourne, and I came across these books. In fact, there was one book that I pulled out. It was called Exceedingly Growing Faith, and it was by a guy called Kenneth Hagin. And I'd never heard of him. I mean, I was only a young baby Christian anyway, but it seemed like, just seemed right. I need to get this. I need to understand this thing about faith. And so I began to read that, and I read it. I don't know how many times. I've read it dozens and dozens of times. I've had it, you know, since I was a young Christian. And I got more of his books. And then I began to find this guy called Kenneth Copeland on TV. And I began to watch his, you know, I remember the first time I watched him, you know, he's like, just he spoke with such authority. I thought, wow, you know, this is really different to anyone I've ever seen speak. And so I got hooked, and I began to learn, and I began to meditate on the things, look at what the word, what they were saying from the word, and I began to realize, wow, there's some things here of what they're saying about faith. That faith really is, you know, the substance of things hoped for. Faith really is the evidence of things unseen. Faith really is the currency of heaven. I began to realize that. I began to put it to work in my life, and I began to see fruit as a result of it. But then as I began to do this, and so, you know, I want you to understand that there was these two tracks that I was going along. I was seeking God to understand grace and how to articulate and share that with others and know it better in my own life and flow in that. But I was also seeking God and wanting to understand faith and how does that work and how can I put it to work in my life. And so it came, you know, over a period of time, I began to really seek the Lord. Well, where do they both fit in? Which one is it? Is it grace or is it faith? which one's the more important? Which one is it that we need to really rely on? You know, like, I want to show you something. Have a look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3. Give me an oi when you're there. All right. So verse 24, it says, actually, you know, verse 24 is an interesting one, like before you look at it. Everybody, just about every Christian knows Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's so few Christians that know Romans 3:24, which is part of the same sentence. And why am I saying that? You know, like if you look at Romans 3:24, it says being justified freely by his grace. Now, the word justified you could replace with made right. So being made right freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's the point that I'm trying to make with that? This is just a side issue. We are so focused on sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that's the middle of the sentence we're stopping at. Because the next half of the sentence says, being made right free. Yeah, everybody sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's not the end of the story. Because we're made right freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I could see from that scripture that, wow, you know, it's by grace that we are made right. That's so important. But then look for four verses on. Romans 3:28. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified, the same word, so we'll replace that with made right. Therefore we conclude that a man is made right by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. Well, in verse 24 it says, we're made right freely by his grace. And in verse 24 it says, a man is made right by faith. And so I was having this kind of this tension that was occurring in my mind, certainly. God, which one is it? Is it grace or is it faith? I've experienced your grace and I want to understand that more, but I also see in the Word it talks about faith and how that it's the evidence of things unseen. It's the substance of the things that you hope for. And so I was really seeking God. I said, where is the balance in this? Which is it? You know, there are some who believe that it's all grace and without grace, nothing happens. There's some people that believe that, well, God, you know, God controls everything and nothing happens in this universe without God giving permission for that thing to happen. And it just happens by grace. God is in control. God is not surprised by anything. God is the one who authors it all. He's the one who gives permission. And then on the other hand, there are some who believe, well, no. Yes, there is grace, but there's faith too. And unless you exercise your faith, you'll never get anything. You have to believe. As John 3:16 says, he who believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everything, and they talk about how in the scriptures, all the promises of God, they can only come by faith. And so here's this tension that I was experiencing. Well, which is it? Is it grace or is it faith? Some are saying, yes, it's all grace. It can't happen without grace. And there are some saying, no, it's all faith. You got to believe. If you don't believe, you'll never, ever have it. Well, here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, I believe it gives us the answer. There's a balance. There's a balance of grace and faith. Because in Ephesians 2, verse 8, and verse 9, it says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so I want to over the next few weeks, I want to unpack some of this, to really give us a handle on how we can live in this balance of grace and also of faith. Now, I'm going to share something, and if you're a note taker, you can write this down. It's something certainly we're going to really unpack over the next few weeks. And this is a great revelation. Probably it may go over your head right now, but over the next few weeks, I'm believing God certainly that it'll be something that'll come into your heart. Hey, here's the bottom line. This is how it works. And we're going to look at this. All right? So I'm summarizing 5 weeks worth or three, at least 3 weeks worth of stuff here in what I'm about to share. Grace is the reason why every provision of the kingdom is made freely available to us. Grace is the reason. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Grace is the reason why every provision comes. And faith is the means by which we access what God has provided through his grace. That, in a nutshell, is living in the balance. Hey, you cannot do without grace. There's nothing you can access from the kingdom of God if God didn't already provide it by grace. But unless you exercise your faith, you'll never see that manifested in your life. Now, we're going to look at that over the next few weeks. But this morning, I want to focus particularly on grace, and I want to see if I can articulate some things about grace, you know, and help us to meditate on it so that we can appreciate and be thankful for what grace is. Hey, grace is God's unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor. Hey, you know, God's blessing in your life is not based on your performance. Is that right? It's not based on your performance. Hey, God doesn't bless you because you pray. God doesn't bless you because you read the Bible. He doesn't bless you because you come to church. He doesn't bless you because you tithe. He doesn't bless you because you share your faith. He doesn't bless you because you stay away from sin. You can't earn or deserve God's blessing and favor by your own efforts. And that is so, so important, hey? And I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't tithe, don't come to church. I'm not saying don't stay away from sin. Obviously, when we read the scriptures, those things are important. But they are not how you get the blessings of God. You don't earn them. They come by grace. They're unearned, they're undeserved, they're unmerited. They've been provided freely because of what Jesus did, not because of what you do. And this is so, this is Christianity 101. This is basic building blocks. If you don't settle this in your heart, and this took me many, many years to learn this. So, you know, look, you know, you might be feeling like, man, you know, I don't have this right in my life. Well, I didn't either for a long, long time. I grew up in a church which was very much focused on, you better do this right or God's going to come and get you. In fact, he'll come and get you even if you do it right, you know. And like, I live like that. Hey, and when things went wrong, I would think, yeah, well, I deserve that, you know. Like, you know, especially if everything was going right and suddenly something wrong happened, it's almost like I pictured in my mind that God was just sending like disaster into my life saying, yeah, I'll keep you awake, mate. Hey, don't you fall asleep. And no, that's not like that, hey. And God's not like that. But we cannot earn or deserve God's blessings, hey, and favor. It's not through our efforts. It's through Jesus' efforts that we receive all the goodness of God. And Jesus did it all. Is that right? He did it all when he went on that cross. He did it all when he went to hell. He went to hell so that you and I would never, ever have to go there. How awesome is that, hey? He bore your shame so that you would never feel shame. How many Christians live their lives with their heads hanging down, feeling ashamed? Sometimes it can come through, you know, like things that your parents have done, spoken over your life, or people that you've looked up to have spoken negative things and they've wounded you deeply and you don't even realize how it's wounded you, but you're just always walking. You can't look. I was kind of like that. It wasn't because of my parents. I had wonderful parents, so I thank God for. But growing up in a church that was so focused on performance, the more I looked at my performance, the more I realized I don't measure up. And so I walked around not able to look people in the eye. I didn't even realize I wasn't, you know, that was something I was doing until I became born again and God began to change me. And I realized, you know what, I don't look people in the eye. Why don't I do that? And I began to discover who I really was as a child of God. I'm a son of God. God's not just my creator, he's my father. And I'm a king and I'm a priest and I serve in his royal court. I have access into his throne room, and so do you if you're born again. You can come, not because you've been so good, but because of the blood of Jesus. We can come boldly to the throne. And then it began to change me from the inside out, and I found myself able to look people in the eye, and it was only others who began to notice. They go, wow, what's happened to you? And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, you're looking at me. Never used to look at me before, you know, and didn't realize that I wasn't doing that. I remember even in high school, you know, when I'd go and meet like a buddy from high school and I'd shake their hand. I remember this one particular guy, I shook his hand, he goes, man, what's that? And I go, what? And he goes, your handshake. He goes, that's like a dead fish, mate. He goes, put some strength into it. And I didn't realize that that's, you know, hey, how you going? You know, this limp wrist kind of handshake. But that kind of reflected everything on the inside. I didn't think I was that much. But then when Jesus came into my life and he began to change me, I saw that same guy a few years after I became a Christian. And I went up to him and I shook his hand. I'm looking him in the eye and he's backing off and he's going, wow. He goes, something's happened to you. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He goes, what's happened to you? And I said, how much time you got? You know? And he said, man, you've changed. He goes, look at your eyes. He goes, they're just like fired up. You know, so I didn't realize that it happened. You know, it was others that began to realize it. The point that I want to make to you is that you cannot earn or deserve God's blessing. You cannot work for it. It's not your efforts that will do it. You have to come to a place. The harder you try, the more you'll realize that you aren't measuring up. Hey, I'll share more about maybe my experience in a little bit. You know, so many Christians feel unqualified to receive blessings from God. You know, they look at their lives and they think, you know, I haven't been faithful in the Christian disciplines. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. You know, I'm self-centered at times. I just do the wrong thing. And so they feel unqualified, you know, like, oh, I don't deserve God's help. I've messed up my life. They look at their life and they see it's a mess. Their family's a mess. Their body's a mess. Their finances are a mess. And they just think, it's my fault. I don't deserve God's help. My liver's gone because I've drunk so much. I've got all these illnesses because I smoked for so many years. It's my fault. I made those decisions. I've lived with so much bitterness and unforgiveness in my life. I'm not surprised that now I've got arthritis. I've got no one to blame but myself. I don't deserve God's help. What's God's response to that? God's response is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. By grace you have been healed through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. By grace you've been delivered through faith. By grace you've been prospered through faith. The New Living Translation. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation. Now remember that word salvation means healing, prosperity. Means all of those salvation, healing, prosperity, peace is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Yeah, you might feel unqualified. Hey, well, welcome to the family. You cannot earn or deserve the favor of God. Don't try to do that. You might feel like, you know, I've just messed up and I've done this wrong and I've done this wrong. I've got no one to blame but myself. This is the mess I've created. My family is falling apart because of the stupid things that I've done. My body is falling apart because of the stupid choices that I made. My finances are a train wreck because of the selfishness that I've lived in. But you know, it's by grace. It's not of your works. And so if you realize, you know what, I've messed up, you qualify to come in and say, God, I just received, because it's unearned, unmerited. That's what grace is that right? Unearned, unmerited favor. You don't get healed because you deserve it. You get healed because Jesus made the payment for your mistakes and my mistakes. He took the payment for that foul up in your finances. He took the payment for the mess in your family. He took the payment for that anxiety and that fear that tries to afflict you and tries to get a grip on you. He took all of that. And he's saying, hey, you don't have to try to earn it. Here, I've got it. It's a free gift. Come and take it. That's grace. Amen. You know, this is so foundational. This is, you have to have this settled in your life. This is the foundation on which you build every other thing in the kingdom of God. If you don't have this right, you will be trying to use self-effort to get your healing. You'll be trying to use self-effort to get your prosperity. You'll be trying to use self-effort to get rid of fear. And it just doesn't work. Self-effort doesn't work. We live in a world that's filled with self-effort, isn't there? How many courses can you do, these self-help courses? And they teach about how by diligence and by applying these methods, and if you're consistent, you're going to produce results. And that's true, you will. But God is saying, hey, come to me, walk with me, and by grace, through faith, unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor, I'll show you an even better way where you can get off the performance treadmill and you can begin to experience blessing in your life. And when people say, man, what did you do to get that? What did you do to receive that? You're not going to be able to say it's because I'm so clever. It's because I worked so hard. It's because I did this and this. No. You're going to be able to say, mate, I did nothing except trust God in this situation. It was God who helped me do this. It was God that led me to the breakthrough. Hallelujah. You know, when you don't get this sorted out, when you don't set this as your foundation, you can get into all sorts of trouble and all sorts of problems. Hey, here's an example. You know, like I've heard a lot of people ask questions, and I certainly ask questions like this too as a young Christian. Things like, you know, well, my Aunt Maggie was such a godly woman. You know, she would be at church every Sunday. She'd cook meals for people who were sick. She would be at the prayer meetings every week. Man, she used to read her Bible. She used to pray. She was a godly woman. And I just want to know, how come God didn't heal her? Why didn't God heal my Aunt Maggie? If someone deserved healing, surely it was my Aunt Maggie. If someone should have got healed, surely it should have been her. See, with that whole scenario, it's gone askew because this foundation of by grace through faith hasn't been settled. That's great that Aunt Maggie went to church every week. What's that got to do with her getting healed? It's great that she prayed and she read her Bible. What has that got to do with her being healed? See, people who think that are thinking, well, they deserve it. Look, they've got all these things. They've got all of these achievements, and therefore they should be healed. No, if you start if you don't settle this, you'll start getting into that mindset yourself. Where soon you're tithing, you say, well, God, what's going on? I still got these bills. You know, you said if I tithe, this is what's going to happen. What's happening here? I deserve to be blessed. No, you don't. You can't deserve it. You can't earn it. It comes by grace through faith. God's not the one who's holding it back. God's given it all. But we need to settle this foundation. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself asking these questions. Hey, God doesn't owe Aunt Maggie a healing because she cooked food for the sick. God's not looking from heaven saying, wow, Aunt Maggie, man, you were at every prayer meeting from 1959 to 1987. That's it. I'm going to give you an extra star. Once you get 7 stars, you get a prayer request. Healing is an expression of the grace of God. Is that right? And that means then you can't eat, you can't earn it. Hey, in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, you don't need to turn there. It says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they've earned. When people work, their wages are not grace. It's something they've earned. Don't try to work for the blessings of God. You'll never, ever qualify. Never. Have a look at Romans chapter 5. No way. Yeah, healing is an expression of the grace of God. You can't earn it. Romans 5, verse 17. All right. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, everyone say much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at this scripture. I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. I don't want you to answer it except in your own mind. But look at this scripture. According to this scripture, who is it that reigns in life? Who reigns in life? It says, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness are those who will reign in life. You know, most of us have subconsciously replaced the word receive in that verse with achieve. We read receive, but so many Christians think in the back of their minds that means achieve. Those who achieve abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. And so they get on the treadmill thinking, if I can just achieve grace, if I can just achieve righteousness, then I can reign in life. If I pray a little bit, then I'll be able to reign in life. You know, it's obviously I'm not praying properly. You know, if I'm just more consistent with my tithing, then I'll reign in life. Maybe I need to give more than that. I need to give offerings as well. Maybe then I'll reign in life. Maybe I need to be sharing my faith. I can't remember when I last shared my faith. If I can just share my faith, I'll set a goal, one person a day, and I'll keep a track of it. And then maybe I'll reign. No, you don't achieve the grace of God. You don't achieve the gift of righteousness. You receive it. You've got to receive it. You don't do anything. It's not your effort. It's what Jesus did. It's his effort. He accomplished it on the cross. You receive it in your life and say, Lord, I can't do it, but you already did. I receive it. I'm not good enough, but you are. I receive you. I'm not able, but you are. I receive you. Receive the abundance of grace. Receive the gift of righteousness, and you will reign in life. You know, self-effort will rob you of reigning in life. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn healing. You can't earn any of the blessings of God. You can't earn peace or protection. It's not by your works. It's only by the completed work of Christ. Hey. And I know in my own life that was something that was very, 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 very obvious. Well, it wasn't obvious when I was going through it. I became a Christian. I knew I was a child of the kingdom. But then when the honeymoon phase kind of wore off, I realized, okay, I have some responsibilities. And so I really, you know, because of my background and my upbringing, I thought I need to do some things now that I'm a child of the kingdom. Isn't it funny how the devil warps our ideas? You couldn't save yourself. What makes you think you're going to maintain yourself? We can't. It's only the life of Christ that can do it. Jesus is the only one who ever lived this life successfully. And the point of the Christian life is not to get stronger as a Christian, but to get weaker until you finally die and you say, as Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about, man, if I pray more, I'll get stronger. If I read my Bible more, I'll memorize scriptures, I'll do all of these things, I'll get stronger and stronger, and I'll be undefeatable. Power! No, it's about surrendering more and more and realizing, God, I'm nothing without you. God, I can do nothing without you, but I'm not without you. And you live in me. And I yield to you, and now you're my strength, and now you're my wisdom, and now you're my sanctification, and now you're my righteousness. Hallelujah. And my own efforts, you know, I began to think I had to read the word. I felt, here's a key, you know, and some of you might have discovered this in your own life. You know, the harder I tried to do the right thing, the more condemned I felt. And that's just a law, hey? That's just a principle. It's a spiritual law. You know, some people think, you know, if you just do the commandments, you'll be right. The commandments were given by God to show you that you cannot measure up to him. You have a read of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about the commandments. It calls it the ministry of death. It calls it the ministry of condemnation. By keeping the commandments, you will never, ever be able to gain acceptance before God. The commandments were put there to remind you that you don't measure up, because God never intended for you and I to live by the commandments. He intended you and I to surrender and to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, and allow him to be our strength and our peace and our wisdom. But you know, the more I prayed, the more I felt condemned. The more I read my Bible, the more I felt condemned. The harder I tried to witness and share my faith. I led a lot of people to Christ. And yet, you know, like sometimes I'd pray for a couple of hours or spend time with God and do some Bible study, and I'd feel good for a little while, and then just that condemnation would come on me again. And I feel like, man, I'm just not doing enough. I need to be doing more. I'm just not, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. The secret is surrendering to him. and realizing, God, I can't do it, but you already did it. And I don't have to try to earn my place with you. You've already given me a place. And you've already forgiven my sin. I don't need to make up for it. I can't ever. You know, you can't make up for what you've done wrong. You can't. That's what grace is. It's unearned, undeserved. You can't make up for it. But what you can do is you can begin to live a new life in Christ and allow His strength and glory to shine through you and just say, Jesus, I'm just living for your glory every day. Not to gain your approval. I already have it. But I just want people to see your love through me. I want people to see how good you are in my life. Not to impress you, God, because you know me inside out. Can you see that? That's a foundation, hey? That's a foundation. You set that as your foundation, and then you begin to live over and above that. You begin to then prayer becomes such a wonderful thing. It becomes a communion with you and God. It's not like, God, please, if I go half an hour, is that all right? You know, like, will that keep you happy? You know, like, no, it's just like, hey, God, so good to be in your presence. So good to fellowship with you. You'll open his word, not because you have to, just because you want to. God, I know you want to talk to me. I know you got answers for what's happening in my life right now. Lord, I'm just reading your word. I just want you to just open my eyes, open the eyes of my heart. Help me to see things. Eh? And all of these things that you do, when you're tired with joy. God, I just want to say thank you. You're so good to me. You're so faithful in my life. I'm presenting my tithe with joy, just recognizing who you are. And those things just become a thing, an opportunity for you to praise and worship God rather than a means for you to try to gain God's approval. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this morning? Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, grace is not just God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. Grace is also God's love in action, hey? You know, if we got what we deserve, we'd just be a pile of ashes. Is that right? We'd probably be a greasy spot on the floor. That's what, you know, I hear people say, you know, oh, you deserve better than this. No, you don't want to talk about what you deserve. I hear people on the TV sometimes outside of court saying, man, justice wasn't served. You don't want justice to be served. You know, if we take that to the nth degree, if we really believe I want justice in my life, you don't want that, hey? Because if we got true justice in our lives, we would all be in hell. But by grace, we got to go to heaven. Not because we were good, but because Jesus took your spot and my spot. And so don't go around saying, I deserve better than this. No. Just say, God, you're just so good to me and I'm so grateful. Hey, think about the things, you know, like here, I want to show you some of the how God, grace is God's love in action. These are some of the things that, you know, that just in the space of a couple of minutes, I just kind of wrote down as I was preparing this message, you know. He forgave us of our sin. If that in itself was the one and only thing that came by grace, isn't that enough to be thanking God and praising God and rejoicing before God that your sins have been forgiven? I remember when God gave me a revelation of that. It opened my eyes and I wept and I wept and I wept. And I remember lifting my hands to God saying, God, if this was the only thing you ever did, it is more than enough for me to praise you for the rest of eternity and say thank you. Forgiven. You're forgiven. You're not going to get what you deserve. He's lifted you up and cleansed you and forgiven you. How good is that, hey? And he didn't just cleanse us. He clothed us in his own righteousness. You know, when you walk before God, you're not just clean. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. How awesome is that? You're holy and you're righteous. Some people sit there and they think, well, no, I'm not holy. You don't know my life. I'm not holy. You're looking in the wrong place. If you are a born-again child of God, your spirit has been cleansed and made righteous and holy. Your actions may not be that good, but in your spirit, you are holy and you are righteous. And when you begin to walk in the spirit, what's on the inside flows into the outside. See, everybody's so busy trying to change the outside. Man, I've got this habit in my life. If I could get rid of this, God, you must hate me because of this. I think these stupid thoughts. Why do I act like this? Why do I think like this? And they're trying to change themselves from the outside. No. It's from the inside out that change occurs. And if you are a child of God, what's on the inside is the presence of God. What's on the inside is the righteousness of God and the holiness of God. You are holy if you're a child of God. It doesn't matter if you get up and you say profanities all day long. Your spirit is holy. You are holy, and that's sealed. That's another message. I could preach for ages just on that. It's a whole message. You need to understand. What God has done in your spirit will never, ever change. It's been sealed. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you will never change. That's why the scripture says things like, he that is born of God cannot sin. I remember the first time I read that, when it said, he is born of God cannot sin, I looked at my life, I thought, man, I'm not born of God. I thought I was, but I'm not. But it says, he who is born of God cannot sin. I thought, oh man, God, forgive me, I'm going to hell now. You know, and you need to understand, it's talking about your spirit. Your spirit cannot sin. Your spirit is never ever depressed. Your spirit is never ever fearful. If you experience anxiety and depression and fear, that's in your soul. It's not in your spirit. It's in your emotions. It's in your mind. It's not in your spirit. Your spirit is sealed. It's unchangeable. It's been locked up, the scripture says. And it won't change. And then the key of the Christian life is surrendering to God and allowing what's in the spirit to flow out. And it begins to renew your mind. And it begins to heal your body. And it changes you from the inside out. And you begin to get confidence and peace and joy and all those things. He wrote our names in the book of life. How awesome is that, hey? When he reads out from the book of life, your name's going to be there. You can step forward. He adopted us into his own family. Man, we're just not just getting to heaven. We're children of God. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like when we get to heaven, God's going to look at us and go, come on in, losers. No way. When we get to heaven, the angels are going to stand in the presence of God. But when we get to heaven, we're going to sit at his right hand. How awesome is that? In fact, that's where we are right now, eh? In the spirit. We're seated. The angels don't get to sit. We do. You know, some people think, oh, you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to be an angel. You're going to have wings. And say, no way. You and I are a higher class of being than angels. You're not going to become an angel. The angels were made to serve the plans and purposes of God in your life and mine. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, are they not, talking about angels, says, are they not all ministering spirits given to serve those? Let me look it up. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. Give me an oi when you're there. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those? Everyone say for those. They've been sent to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Hands up if you're inheriting salvation. They've been sent to minister for you, not to you, for you. The plans and purposes God has for your life, angels have been given the task to minister for you to see those things come to pass. Now, you've got to get in cooperation with that. There's some people that have angels at their disposal, and those angels are almost like unemployed. They're just sitting around because there's nothing they're doing in cooperating with God. Now, God will still love you. God's love's unconditional. You know, if you do nothing for your entire life, it will not change how God feels about you. He still loves you. It's unconditional. That means there's no conditions on it. But it's just going to hurt you if you don't respond and start cooperating with the kingdom of God. And the angels are given to minister for those who will inherit salvation. You're not going to become an angel. Angels are given to minister for you, to bring about God's plans and purposes in your life. Hey? Yeah, I remember there was one time... Joy and I were involved in a ministry where we were ministering to some kids who were kind of really at risk. They called it a street kids ministry. It really wasn't street kids. They were kids who were living at home, but they were kids who were quite from very dysfunctional families. And probably if there was no sort of intervention, they would end up becoming street kids. And we were ministering. And I remember this one night we were praying in the spirit, our team. We got together and we were just praying for these kids. And we just sensed that there was a real warfare, that what we were doing was affecting lives. Hey, and in reaching out with the love of God and ministering to these kids, it was affecting lives, and that there was a kingdom of darkness that wasn't happy about this, wasn't pleased, and wasn't going to just sit by and allow us to do this. It was going to try to stop it. And so we sensed this warfare that was going on. And so we just began to pray kind of aggressively in the spirit. Hey, you ought to exercise praying in tongues. Hey, I'm just saying this by the Holy Spirit. He's telling me to tell you this. That needs to be a pattern in your life. You don't know how to pray for everything as you ought. There's many times you can get in situations you have no idea what to say. You know there's a need, but what do you say? That's where praying in the Spirit comes in. You're praying the perfect will of God. So we're praying this night, and we are praying in tongues, and we're praying in the Spirit. We just sense there's an aggression in our prayer. We just sense that there was something that was going on. And unknown to us, Joy was, she was there in the room, but unknown to us, the Lord spoke to Joy and said, I want to show you what's going on that you can't see. And she looked up and the roof disappeared, and she just, the heavens, she could see like it was nighttime and the whole night sky was there. And she saw this massive hand go and grab something that looked like a zipper and unzip the sky. And when it was unzipped and unfolded in the sky, there was this massive war that was going on between these warriors of light and these creatures of darkness. And a massive warfare that was taking place, like a full-blown warfare. And God was showing her and saying, this is what's happening. And each one of these battles represents a life that's on the line. So she's watching like this panoramic movie that's unfolding. And we're praying. And as we're praying, we kind of sensed that it was a real victory that was happening. And the more we sensed this victory that was occurring, unknown to us, Joy saw like the forces of light pushing back the forces of darkness and dispersing them. Until eventually we felt like, yeah, it's done. And Joy just saw all the forces of darkness had been scattered. Their forces that were in disarray. They were no longer in formation. They were no longer in order. They were just scattered and fleeing in every direction. And the forces of light had won. And we didn't know that. We didn't know. We just kind of sensed it in our heart. But that's what she saw. And then we just began to worship God. I remember we just began to worship. We just lifted our hands and just began to worship and to sing unto the Lord. And she saw that many of these angels that had been fighting, they turned around and they flew down and surrounded our house. And they laid down their swords and they raised their arms and they began to worship God. And the presence of God just began to increase in our midst. Just began to increase more and more. We were just worshiping. This was awesome, hey. And I just felt in my heart like, oh, man, I just need to get on the floor. I need to kneel down. I don't know what anybody else is doing. And I opened my eyes to see what everybody else. They had all hit the floor. They were all on their knees. Eh? I got on my knees, and I'm just on my knees. I just felt like there's such a strong presence of the Lord here. I just need to be on my knees. What I didn't realize and what the rest of us didn't realize is what was happening and what Joy saw is as we got on our knees, the angels got on their knees, and in our lounge room, Jesus appeared. And he came and he ministered to each and every one. And we just knew there was something just so supreme that was in our midst that we just needed to be on our knees before. And he came and he laid his hands on each one and he ministered to each one. Anyway, I didn't want to sort of share all of that. The thing I wanted to share is that the angels are given to minister for those who will inherit salvation. You are someone who will inherit salvation. How good is that, hey? The angels are at your disposal. It's not like you can command them, hey, get off your butt and go and do that. No, you can't do that. But you start getting in agreement with God. You know how you can empower your angel? Start speaking the word of God. Start speaking the promise of God. Psalm 103 says the angels obey the voice of his word. You start putting his word in your mouth and you start speaking it out. Angels obey the voice of his word. Start speaking the word of God over your life. There's symptoms in your body. Start getting into agreement with what God says about it. And you're setting your angels to work on your behalf. And that's what we experienced that night. Just as we just got into agreement with what God was telling us to do, the angels began to work for us. Grace is God's love in action. He's adopted us into his family. We are his sons. He's put his spirit within us. You know, we're not just, he hasn't just put an angel to live in us and to teach us. He's put his own presence. How awesome is that, hey? There's so many things that we can be thankful for because of the grace of God. Amen? Amen. I want you to stand up. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes just being thankful before God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to pray in the Spirit just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, Lord God. Oh, we thank you for this unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor, Lord, that is there all the time. Your mercy, your favor, your grace, your goodness, Lord God, they abound toward us. They abound toward us. We thank you for it, Lord God. We don't want to forget. We don't want to forget these good things that you do. I want you to begin to think about what are the good things that you're aware of that God has done in your life. Think about some of the things that I've been sharing about this morning. Begin to articulate those. Begin to speak those things out and give thanks to God. Hey, come on, saints. Stir yourself up. Begin to think about the grace of God. And let's be thankful. Hey. Oh, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to earn healing, Lord God. You've already provided it by grace. We don't have to earn peace, Lord God. You have already given your peace to us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. We don't have to earn our prosperity, Lord God. You have already prospered us. You have prospered us. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed, Lord God. We're not waiting for your blessing. You have already blessed us with every spiritual blessing.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.